hope is built on nothing less.
Praise the Lord, we have a solid rock to stand upon, amen. The Lord is so good, and I'm thankful that I'm saved and I'm on the rock. If you're not saved today, you can stand upon the rock. By the way, Sandy, it is so good to see you. Everything is going well, amen. God bless you, amen. Let's go to the Lord. Lord, as we come to you now, we rejoice in your goodness. I pray you'll continue to be with Alicia Perkins. Lord, thank you for the progress that is being made, and as well, Gary Greer. We pray, Lord, you'll continue to be with Brother Don Phelps, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for going into the doctor and find out there was no emergency there. And continue to heal his body, Lord, and strengthen him. Lord, today we stand before you rejoicing in your goodness. What a wonderful testimony it is when great believers go to be with you. And we thank you so much for the Garlock family, Lord. And Flora Jean went to be with the Lord and is now in your presence. Lord, we thank you for the confidence because we stand upon the rock. Every promise you give in Scripture is true and faithful. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll bless this service, bless each one that is here. And as we lift up the word, I pray that your Son would be lifted up so that all men are drawn unto him. For it is in Jesus' name we pray, and for his glory alone. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. It's good to welcome you here to Grace Baptist Church this morning. Our ushers are going to make their way forward at this time. And if you did not receive a welcome packet and you're visiting with us today, we'd love to welcome you. Thank you for joining us here to worship together at Grace this morning. They have a little welcome packet that would let you know a little bit more about our ministry, as well as have an opportunity in there for us to get to know a little bit more about you with a visitor's card. So if you'll just raise your hand, they'll make sure you get one of those, and we'll say thank you for joining with us today and worshiping with us this morning as we lift up our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That takes us to our verse this morning. It's found in Titus 3, verse 5. Where the Bible reminds us that not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I'm glad it is not my works that save me. I'm glad that I don't have to earn my way to heaven. I just have to accept the free gift that Jesus Christ has offered me. And this verse reminds us of it. So I hope you've been memorizing the Word of God together as a congregation. And this week, you can join in memorizing together with us Titus 3:5. Let's say it. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Titus 3:5. I trust the Lord will bless you this week as you memorize His Word. Just a few quick reminders about upcoming activities. Don't forget tonight at 6:05 in the Waits Building, the Soul Winning Partnership group will meet, and I hope you'll be able to make it to that at 6:05 tonight. This upcoming Wednesday, I'd encourage you to be here. If you're not helping out in the Awana program, make sure you're here. One of our longtime missionaries, Ken Kirkland, we've gone many times to minister with them in Antigua with the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse, will be here. They are retiring from the field, and so it'll be their follow-up and final time with us in that capacity. And so you want to be here for that. It'll be a special time. Senior Saints, you've got a luncheon on Thursday. Next week, get started with our Southwide Baptist Fellowship. We're looking forward to that. We'll have special speakers Sunday morning and Sunday evening. I would encourage you, if you're here Sunday evening, men, it would be a great opportunity to help us. We've got to set up the Schumpert Chapel for the tables and the Hanson for tables and displays. So if you can stay around a few extra minutes next Sunday evening to help get those things set up, that would be a tremendous blessing. I want to make mention of as well, the church picnic is coming up. There's a sign-up sheet out at the Welcome Center for you to sign up to say that you'll be able to join with us that way so we can know how much food to prepare. That's coming up on the 19th. That's the Saturday after our Southwide Fellowship here. And then I want to encourage you to, if you have the opportunity, come out to the ball games this Tuesday for the school. Our varsity volleyball and varsity soccer teams will be playing. We're playing probably our biggest rival, and that is Northside Christian down in North Charleston. And the boys have the opportunity to win their region this Tuesday if they win, and the girls have the same opportunity. And so you come out, you cheer the teams on. Mr. Failer, remind me of the times of those games. Okay, so varsity soccer at 4, varsity volleyball at 5. You can also come out. You'll see the new field and the progress that's being made there. The field looks great, and we'll be able to play on it, and it'll be a wonderful opportunity to come cheer on the guys to a victory and the girls on to a victory, and we'll look forward to that. So come out and join us this Tuesday. Brother Edward.
It's been several weeks, but we just wanted to give you an update relative to our pastoral search committee. I'll read you a statement. We just want to thank you for your continued support for our committee. We continue to make progress in contacting men who have been recommended to us, asking them to prayerfully consider submitting resumes to the committee. As we continue to receive recommendations as well, please pray that the recommendations will continue to be submitted and that the recommendations that you understand the recommendations are the way that we initiate contact with these prospective candidates. Additionally, we've received and continue to receive a number of resumes from men that we've contacted and have shown interest in being considered for our senior pastor position. We're in conversation with men, and we will continue this, and there'll be others, I think, that will follow up by submitting a resume. Please know that your continued prayer support is of great encouragement to us. Thank you for those that pray for us as we work. I always try to take just a minute and let you know how you can continue to pray. Pray that the recommendations will continue to come. I was talking to a friend of mine who is just, their church has just finished this process. Their new pastor stands in the pulpit this morning for the first time. They were 18 months in that process, and they got the recommendation for their senior pastor 13 months into the process. And one of the things that he said was, we sometimes just forgot to pray that the recommendations would continue to come, that God would continue to work. And so I ask that you'd continue to pray in that realm. Pray that the resumes will continue to come so that we can follow up with those considerations. And then pray that the committee will do a good job of gathering additional information, and as we begin to talk to these candidates, that we'd have wisdom and discernment and know God's direction as we deliberate. Several of you have asked me if you could pray specifically for us as we meet, and if the Lord brings that to your mind, we'd appreciate it. We meet on Thursday evenings, usually around 6:30. I just remind you that all things whatsoever we ask in prayer, according to Jesus, to his disciples, and believe, we shall receive. And so I ask you that you continue to commit yourself to praying. Thank you for the encouragement that many of you have offered to us, and we pray that you'd continue that prayer. Thank you.
Just want to give you a quick update for the schedule coming up this next week, not this week, but as we start South White off, it officially starts with us on Sunday, of course, with our special speaker, Tony Miller, in the morning and Nathan Dietrich in the evening, normal times. On Monday, it'll kick off at 7 o'clock right here in the auditorium. Two speakers that evening, you want to come out to that. It's going to be a special time. And then each Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning, beginning at 9:30, there'll be three speakers in the morning, finish up a little bit before noon each day. And very timely, they're given a time and they stick to it very well. And then we'll have the afternoons off, and then we'll be headed right back here for 7 o'clock. If you'd like to sing in the choir or play in the orchestra, and you'd like to maybe get with me, that's going to be practice at 6:25. And we'll be singing right up front each night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. And looking forward to just the special time. And again, it's going to be live stream, so if you can't get here, you can watch it at home. It will be live stream. So again, looking forward to that. I've asked that you pray that all the details come together, continue to come together this week as we do that. We're expecting several hundred people to be here on our campus those days. So please come out. Please be faithful to the meetings. And again, we look forward to that time together. And we're going to sing one of the songs that we'll be singing. Actually, we're singing this song, I think, Tuesday night, I Stand Redeemed.
When the mist of time is gone.
I hope you stand redeemed. Amen. If you don't stand redeemed, today you can find out how to stand redeemed. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's sing, "For God so loved the world." Young people are being dismissed to junior church, 4 years old through the sixth grade, head up to the Hanson Chapel. They're looking forward to their time together. Let's sing it together. "For God so loved the world."
For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son to die on Calvary's tree, from sin to set me free. Someday He's coming back. What glory that will be! Wonderful His love to me.
Let's turn around, let's greet someone, find someone you don't know, introduce yourself to them, and we'll get ready for the offering. Let's sing it again.
For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son to die on Calvary's tree, from sin to set me free. Someday He's coming back. What glory that will be! Wonderful His love to me.
Amen. We always remind you today we're having the special bus class, discipleship class, and this is a wonderful time to have an opportunity to witness to the teenagers, so you remember to pray for them as well. We've seen a number of folks saved in our program over the course of the last couple of weeks, and that's exciting. Let's go to the Lord. Lord, as we come to You now, we thank You so much for Your goodness. I pray, Father, as we give our tithes and offering, even as Your word says, the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. And so, Lord, I pray now, as we give, we'll give unto You, and Lord, it'll be a blessing to the ministry here and throughout this nation, throughout the world as well. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Number 101 in your songbooks, 101. Let's stand together. We'll sing a couple verses of number 101. We'll sing the first and the last of number 101.
I found a friend, oh, such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. He drew me with the cords of love, and he bound me to him, and round my heart's still closely twine those ties which naught can sever. For I am his and he is mine forever and forever. I found a friend, oh, such a friend, so kind and true and tender, so wise a counselor and guide, so mighty a defender. From him who loves me now so well, what power my soul can sever? Shall life or death or earth or no, I am his forever.
Thank you. You may be seated. Renee's going to come and sing for us at this time.
Unto the Lord Most High, who filled the seas and formed the skies, who walks upon the wings of the wind, whose thoughts no man can comprehend. Through every generation, his wonders are displayed. From forming all creation to freeing those enslaved, God of wonders, who reigns victorious, God of wonders, enthroned in praise, all earth trembles before his presence. God of wonders, the Ancient of Days. Who has heard his mighty word? Of old, of Noah's flood, of Jericho, of taming mighty lions in the den, of Egypt's plagues, Goliath's end. Through every generation, his wonders are displayed. From forming all creation to freeing those enslaved, God of wonders, who reigns victorious, God of wonders, enthroned in praise. Of days. Who is like unto the Lord Most High, the Lord Most High?
Amen. Thank you, Renee. That was wonderful. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians is a tremendous book as far as unity and focus on joy in all circumstances. And God is doing some great things in this world. It is interesting, you read articles on one side, D.J. McKennedy, Coral Ridge Church in Florida,
Just came out with a recent article, the challenges that are going to take place in the days ahead, how they're trying to trump the First and Second Amendment. Of course, the First Amendment dealing with religious freedom. And they're trying to basically use discrimination as a means of trumping freedom of religion. And that is, if for some reason there may be a biblical principle, you can't do something. Such as just simply this, as far as the LGBT movement and having the belief that Christians are against what they do. And by the way, we're against things because the Bible says we should be against things. Amen? And so it is not up for us to decide whether or not we're going to stand. The Lord tells us to stand. And so there are challenges in that area in some states. California is one of the states that is basically trying to, through their state, override the First Amendment and say that we'll shut down your business if you don't agree to certain situations concerning the LGBT community and other things as well. So on that hand, and yet God is doing some great things, and we'll get into it toward the end of the message, some of the things that the Lord is doing throughout the world. And last two Sundays we mentioned specifically as far as individuals standing up for the Lord Jesus Christ, and two coaches that were mentioned, Coach Dabo and then the coach of Virginia University, how he that team won a national championship, and he has taken a strong stand and has let it be known that he knows the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, gives the credit to him for all the success that he has had, not merely the team. And so there are exciting things that are happening, but we have got to stand. We've got to determine what we're going to do in these days ahead. And I pray that even as the message this morning is, stand fast. Stand, if you would, for the reading of the Word of God as we started Philippians. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read these last verses, and 27 through 30. But actually, remember this, all of these chapter divisions are man-made chapter divisions. This was one letter in itself. And I believe these chapter divisions are wonderful because they cause us to pause and to think what is ahead. But probably Philippians chapter 2 begins here at verse 27, because as we see that these two ideas are so bonded together, especially the first two verses in Philippians chapter 2. And so I'm going to read the scripture here, and if you would just follow along with me as I read. Starting at verse 27 of Philippians chapter 1, only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else I be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit and in one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you is given on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he saw in me, and now here to be in me. Let's pray. Father, as we see this, Paul ends this first chapter. He goes through the circumstance in which he is imprisoned, knows that he may be facing to death, and says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And so, Lord, he did not know what the outcome would eventually be. It was his death. But, Lord, we know this, that he stood and he thanked you for the men and women that would arise and spread the gospel without fear. And now, Lord, in this 27th verse through the end of this chapter, this challenge is to every believer in this room. Lord, I pray that we glean these principles and we would follow the command of Scripture to do likewise. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to look at three things, focus our attention on three things as far as Scripture is concerned. And I love this verse 27 where it says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come unto you and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit and one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Three things. First of all, stand fast in conversation that becomes the gospel. Stand fast in conversation that becomes the gospel. The most common understanding of that word conversation is everything that is verbally that comes from us. Everything that we speak, everything that we say. But this particular Greek word that is often used, and in every case in Scripture, it speaks primarily of the whole lifestyle. You ever heard the expression, the way you live so loud, I can't hear what you say? And so what happens is this word conversation means our conduct, the way in which we live, the pattern in which we live. And so the Word of God says at the very beginning, let your conversation, which includes three things, our lives, may be the only gospel that others read, see, and hear. Your life may be the only gospel that others see, hear, that's the you. Not just what you say, but what they see in you, what they hear coming from your mouth. And so I believe that we could say this. When we talk about conversation, we talk about our thoughts, our words, and our works. That's what they're looking at. That's the gospel to them. We can never say, don't do what I do, but do what I say. And that is, we've got to not only do what we command others to do to the best of our ability, but we have got to live before our families, before our church members, in such a way that they know there's a difference in our life, that Christ has come in and he is ahead of our lives. He is the captain of the ship. He is the captain of our salvation. And so, concerning thoughts, the Word of God says in Proverbs 23, verse 7, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what your thoughts are what you really are. And it is interesting, there are two types of thoughts, basically. There are thoughts that you cultivate yourself, and there are thoughts that Satan cultivates in your mind. We know that Eve, in the garden, that day in which Adam and Eve fell, was coached by Satan. Now, we know this, obviously, that she was, I believe that she was probably not too far away from the tree. Only one tree in the whole garden she couldn't partake of, and that was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, don't partake of that tree. You can partake of all the trees in the garden, but you can't eat of that tree. And I can't help but to think that Adam and Eve suspicioned why. Why can't we have it all? The reason they couldn't have it all is because God gave man even the ability from the very beginning of creation to obey or disobey him. Amen. And so what took place is, even as it says in James, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust or his own desires. And so perhaps a serpent looked at Eve as she was looking at the tree and said, you know something, this is a good opportunity for me to strike. She's looking, she's wondering, she most likely is desiring. And so Satan comes along and then places thoughts in our minds. Why don't you partake? No, because God said that even if we touch that fruit, which was not true, it's not the touching, but the eating. But nonetheless, I guess if you don't touch, you don't eat, do you? And so all of this is taking place in her mind. She's wondering about these things, and all of a sudden a serpent comes along and plants an idea that is completely anti-scriptural, and that is Satan comes along and says, you shall not surely die. You're not going to die. For the day you eat thereof, you're going to become as gods. And so she partook, fully her fault. It is interesting in the pastoral epistles that the Word of God says that woman was deceived, but man was not deceived. That is why we look at the sin of Adam, and Adam is the head of humanity, was ultimately responsible for the sin. And so she partook, and even as the Word of God says very clearly in the Corinthian epistle, casting down imagination, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And that is, the knowledge of God is, if you eat, you're going to die. Satan's exaltation above God's knowledge is, you're not going to die. But the day you eat of that fruit, you're going to become as God. And so the temptation was powerful. And she partook. And since that time, you and I, throughout our whole life, have had to fight corrupt thoughts through a weakened flesh. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You and I know more about ourselves than anybody else. You can somewhat hide your thoughts. The Word of God says in Psalm 19, verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the very meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you, my strength and my redeemer. God, if any of this satanic corrupt thinking comes, help me to immediately stop it, to cast it down as the Word of God says. Casting down imaginations and every high thing exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And that is what God wants me to think. I'm going to think that. How do we help ourselves in this area? I believe that Philippians 4:8 gives us one of the greatest keys as how to maintain proper thinking and to fight the devil. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. You must aggressively cast down ungodly thinking and battle it in its first stages, lest it incubates in your mind, captures your heart. And the Word of God says this: you eventually do evil. As a man thinketh in his heart, and by the way, your heart doesn't think. You're talking about the heart. You're talking about this here, because that would think. But when it speaks of the heart in this expression, it speaks of basically your total being. As a man thinks in his heart, what your thoughts are what you and I are. And by the way, it's not too pleasant sometimes when some thoughts come to your mind and said, man, where did that come from? Everyone in this room has had wicked thoughts, and sometimes those wicked thoughts, you didn't plan them there, but I can tell you who did. Amen. The master of deception caused you to look, caused you to think, caused you to read something, so that an evil thought was planted in your mind. And basically what he was saying, are you going to incubate it? Are you going to allow it to hatch? It may be that some things come before your eyes, men and women. And when those things come before you, you have a choice of one of the things to do. You either can continue to look or you can turn away. And the Word of God says, turn away. Flee youthful lusts. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Don't allow yourselves opportunities to be in places where you're putting yourself in an initial place to sin even before you enter that place. Amen. I'm not saying this to be a prude, or I'm certainly not saying that I'm a perfect individual, but I think that when summer strikes, I think you ought to be careful where you go so that you have your children and your teenagers around people that are not dressed too properly on the beach, you know what I mean? And to say that any young man is not affected by some of the attire and some situation, I'm just saying this, you can do what you want to do. I've got to take care of myself, you got to take care of yourself. But what I am saying is this, we have got to be so protective not to put ourselves in a position where we're going to sin against the Lord with our eyes, with our hearts. It is so important. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So how do we counteract that? By immediately when these thoughts come to our mind, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, we start to dwell upon godly things and push those thoughts out, lest they capture our hearts and our being. Amen? And now we commit sin. Our conversation involves our thoughts. Our conversation involves our words. What we say, how we say it, and when we say it. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 says this, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." I don't know about you, but I've said some things I wish I could have taken back. I had to go and apologize and ask forgiveness for. And I tell you what, we need to take care of it, because if we don't take care of it, it's going to block our relationship with the Lord. Why is it as important? Because when you have all these things that are unconfessed, those begin to clutter your life. It's like stacking up bricks, and there's a rose right in the middle. And what you do is we begin to stack bricks of sin up that are unconfessed. All of a sudden, it shuts out the light, and the rose dies. Because it's one little sin after another. Brick and mortar, 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 brick and mortar. Until the light is shut out. Ephesians 4:29 says, not only should we be careful what comes out of our mouth, because we're going to have to give account for that, but as well the Word of God says that I want to direct your speech. And probably these verses are so important, but in Ephesians 4:29 it says, the Word of God says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is given for the use of edification. Edification to build up, to encourage others. And just follow this with me. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth, but instead let what comes out of our mouth be edifying, but that which is good for edifying, to build up, to encourage, to bring healing. And the word corrupt communication doesn't just mean profanity. Well, I don't swear. Never hear me swear. And that's a wonderful thing. I'm glad you don't. But this corrupt communication is distinguished in the verse by saying, but that which is good for edifying. So what it's talking about, that corrupt communication, is that which is what? Not edifying. That which destroys, that hurts, that's what defiles us. That it may minister grace unto the hearers. It doesn't mean this. Edification does not mean you never basically have conflicts. If there's a problem and your child has a problem, you recognize the problem, and we do it in the right way. Now we sit down and the discipline may be coming. And I still believe in spankings, as long as it's in the Word of God. I believe we should do it when necessary. But I tell you what, you better do it in the right spirit too. And so what we do is we do the discipline in the right spirit, but before that, the explanation of I'm going to have to do this, and that is because of the offense. I told you not to do this. You defied that, maybe you defied it several times, and I have to be a man of my word or a woman of your word, and so the discipline has to come. So what happens is they realize they have violated your word, and therefore you cannot just threaten them or warn them. You need to be a man or woman of your word and say, okay, the discipline takes place. But depending upon the response, that can change how much discipline takes place. If they receive correction as a real genuine brokenness, a lot of times they don't need discipline. As you see, a heart is broken. They understand what they did. And I don't know about you, but that touches my heart. And, you know, sympathy begins to ooze out between the ribs when that person does it. But if they're defiant and they say, you know, you can tell me what to do, but I'm going to still do it. You may tell me to sit down, but I'm still standing up on the inside. You got to determine that you basically discipline in love or a person of your word and according to the particular need. And so the Word of God says that we know nothing that is corrupt comes out of our mouth, nothing that doesn't build up. And sometimes, because I love someone, I go to him and say, listen, I hate to do this, but it's necessary. This is wrong in your life. Don't look at that as a negative thing. And if you need to explain yourself and that maybe that's just a misunderstanding, then that takes place. But you know something? Some of the greatest things that have taken place in my life when people have come to me in love and say, hey, listen, this is something that you need to take care of in your life. You say, do they do that to preachers too? You better believe they do. They probably do it to me more than I do it to you. You listen to those things and you simply say this. You be honest enough to say, is what they're saying the truth? And if it's the truth, you better take care of it. Amen? If it's the truth, we change. This person has come to us to help us. Sometimes even people may not mean it to help you, but you still have to say what they're saying is the truth. No matter how much it hurts, no matter how much they didn't care for you, if it's the truth, it's the truth. Amen? Amen. And that's what we're concerned about. Our speech reveals the condition of our hearts. But those things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. So you can listen to what a person says and what comes out of their mouth, and a lot of times that will reveal their heart. And the third thing is, in this area, not only our thoughts and our words, but the Word of God says our works as well. What we say by our actions and the way we live. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Revelation 22:12 says, behold, I come quickly, my reward is with me, to give every man according to as his work is. And so what do we do? The Word of God says, you've got to work on good works. Let your light shine before men, Matthew 5:16, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And we have to realize this. Does this work glorify me, or does it glorify God? And we have to continually, basically, ask ourselves the question, am I doing this to glorify God, or am I doing this to glorify myself? If it's to glorify myself, wrong motive, no reward. The second principle is this, stand fast, and this is powerful. The Word of God says, let your conversation become the gospel of Christ. And the gospel of Christ is three things. It is the evidence of the gospel in your salvation. And the word gospel means good news. The first good news is that you can get saved. The second aspect is this. Not only does he save you, but he perfects you. That's sanctification. And not only that, when he saves and basically perfects you, all of a sudden you're able to do good works through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Philippians 2:10, for we are his workmanship. He's molding us. created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Secondly, stand fast in the same spirit and mind. The Word of God goes on to say this, that whether I come and see you or else I be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. The second is stand fast in the same spirit and same mind. One spirit, one mind. And the unity of one spirit and one mind comes because of the fact that you have the same spirit in me if you're saved. You have the same spirit in you that I have in me. That's why it says don't be unequally yoked with the unbeliever, because you have a believer that has the Spirit of God dwelling within. You have another person that is unsaved who has not the Spirit of God dwelling within. And guess what? The believer should have the Spirit dwelling within, telling him, you know something, you need to be kind to your wife. You need to do what is right before the Lord. And this person over here, the only thing they have is what the world has taught them, what television has taught them. Does that mean two individuals that are married that have the Holy Spirit dwelling within, they're just going to have perfect harmony? No, that's not always the case. It depends how much we walk in the Spirit, and we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that's where this joins into chapter 2, verse 1, when it talks about this. First verse in chapter 1 says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels of mercies. That right there fixes this attention on having the same spirit. What this first verse is powerful as far as the heart that we're supposed to have, the spirit with which we're to have. And that is any consolation, that is any encouragement, any exhortation, any comfort of love, and that is the peace that God brings through a loving, correct spirit. And that is when someone loves you and corrects you, that person has a peace. They've done it right. And as you take the correction, that brings peace between brethren. It brings peace in an individual's heart as they get things right. And that is when we have the same spirit, there is encouragement that takes place. There is a peace that is brought because of the comfort of love. And there is the fellowship of the Spirit. And the word fellowship comes from the word paraclete, the Holy Spirit. And it speaks of partnership, mutual participation in the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. Mutual participation. And that is, God is working in your life, and He is working in my life, and that should bring us together. Amen? And bowels of mercies. This word bowels and mercies means inward affection. Inward affection. And so there's encouragement, exhortation. There is the comfort of love, a peace that love brings. There's fellowship, partnership, mutual partnership between believers in the Holy Spirit of God. Not just that we have fellowship with the Spirit, it's that we as believers have fellowship through the same Spirit of God. Bowels, inward affection. There's a passion, a desire, a love that exudes from us so this person knows that we genuinely love them. The same spirit and finally the same mind in the second principle, and that is, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded. And the idea here is the same mind. Here again, Holy Spirit bringing our minds together, hearts together, so that we're one. We're not two battling each other. We come together as one. That's God's desire. And the last principle is this, to stand fast, striving together in the gospel. And it pictures these last two. In verse 28, it says, and nothing terrified by your adversaries, because they're going to do everything to stop you, to oppose you, and to oppose the gospel. They don't want others to be saved. The Jews did not want these Jewish individuals to be converted to Christianity, and the pagans did not want these Christians to remove themselves from the pagan gods. They were adversity with the Jews, and they were adversity with the Gentiles, and this church was going under great persecution. That is why the Apostle Paul Paul says in the next verse, for unto you is given on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his namesake. Why? Because his church in Philippi was suffering from the Jews and also the Gentiles. When the Word of God says in verse 28, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, and that is, listen, I love what Steve Pettit had to say a number of years ago. If someone came up to you and said, I'm going to kill you, and Steve Pettit said, you can't threaten me with eternal life. Hey, listen, if we're taken out of this world, we know where we're going if we're saved. If you're not saved, you better get that thing fixed. Amen. Which to them is an evident token of perdition. It is a basic token of the fact that they're heading for destruction. You're not. You're heading for eternal life. But unto you, salvation, and that of God. Stand fast in striving together in the gospel, and that is the greatest news on the face of this earth is the news that Jesus saves. Amen. That's what everybody needs. Let me conclude with this. I read three articles this week, and this one was one of the most, all three articles, it just seemed as interesting. John sent one to me, and I had another report. John Tregler sent one to me, and I sent one back to him, and I got another one too, and all of them verify this, and it is wonderful. Iran has the world's fastest growing church. Despite no buildings, it is mostly led by women. And by the way, it's these women are standing up, and they are in far more jeopardy than what the men are. A new film tells the story of the fastest growing church in the world, an underground persecuted Christian movement in a country known for its exporting of radical Islamic terrorism. But the Muslim majority's nation's citizens are reportedly fleeing Islam in droves as believers bow their knee to Jesus and become aggressively pro-Israel. The documentary Sheep Among Wolves, Volume 2, and there's two volumes, both about an hour apiece, and if you read it, you will be blessed to your socks end. Directed by Dalton Thomas, produced by the Frontier Alliance International Studios, a nonprofit group dedicated to discipling, highlights the untold story of the persecuted church in Iran. One Islamic leader says this, if I told you Islam was dead, one identified Iranian church leader said as well, what if I told you that the mosques are empty inside Iran? What if I told you that no one follows Islam inside of Iran? Would you believe me? This is exactly what is happening inside of Iran. God is moving powerfully inside of Iran. After 40 years of Islamic law, the utopia, according to them, they had the worst devastation in the 5,000-year history of Iran. 55% of the women are leading in discipleship, winning other people to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I need to read you this as far as those individuals that are suffering and standing up for Christ, and they're going to spread the gospel, striving together for the faith of the gospel, standing fast in courage against their adversaries, standing fast in the mutual conflict, the conflict that Apostle Paul had when he was in prison and ready to die. You've got to be willing to do, as Hebrews chapter 13 says, come without the gates, bearing his reproach. But the new believers in Islamic Republic face greater risks. We know that if they get us, the first thing that they will do to us, and that is speaking of the women, they rape us and then they beat us and ultimately they kill us, one believer said. This is the decision we have made that we want to offer our bodies as sacrifices, because we have this thought: when I wake up, and when I leave, and I might not come back, I'll be with my Lord. We're unto you is given on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but to suffer for his name's sake. So can you imagine saying, you can rape me, you can do whatever you want to do with me, because this body doesn't belong to me anyway. It belongs to Jesus Christ. That's Christianity. That's Christianity. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. Oh, brethren, we have the ingredients. Christ in us, the hope of glory. The Paraclete, the Holy Spirit of God, the Comforter, dwelling in our hearts. The unification is found not in our own beliefs, it's found in the principles of the Word of God, the doctrine of the Word. And we, as believers, have been called to stand fast. Stand up, strive for the sake of the gospel, even unto death. May God help us to live it, no matter what the cost, no matter what they take away from us, no matter what they do as far as taxation is concerned, because we don't believe in what they believe, or they start taxing the church because we will not obey principles or things told us that unless you as a church don't talk on this particular topic, we're going to take away your tax exemption. And I think it's going to come to that. And other types of persecution. But listen, we can certainly stand up against that when our brothers and sisters of Christ off across the oceans are standing up and saying, I'll die, I'll surrender my body totally for the one who loves me. I know where I'm going. Oh, what joy, what peace. The love of Christ constrains us. Are you saved? If you're saved and you know for sure if you were to die today, you go to heaven, give me Bible reason. Would you just raise your hand as a testimony to that? Thank you very much. Is there anyone here today that would say, just from this brief moment, I do not know if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Would you just raise your hand for a moment? Allow me to see that hand, and then you can lower it. Is there anyone? And then, Christian, can I talk to you? Are you standing? We got to stand at work. We got to stand in this world. We got to stand in our neighborhood. We have to stand for Christ. The world is looking at us. Oh, we're not a perfect people. Sometimes we don't represent the Lord as we should. But may God grant us the grace to live for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please him in all that we do. This morning, I just ask you to have a heart check. What kind of testimony do we have? Whatever needs to be taken care of, we clean it up, we grow, we do whatever God wants us to do. We give up whatever God wants us to give up to become a better Christian. We do it with joy because it's more important for us to be right before God than right before man. Everyone standing your feet at this time. 477 in your Bibles, 477. We have men and women standing by to show you in the Word of God how you can be saved. And it would be wrong for us not to offer you an opportunity this morning to trust in Christ as your personal Savior. It is our prayer that today, if you don't know Christ, you'll come and make Him your Savior by receiving Him into your heart. And then, believer, I hope that we'll stand in these not so difficult circumstances as we see those standing who are in the severest of circumstance. You never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, you need to get that taken care of. There's some things in your life that need to be honed, fixed, taken care of. We invite you to have a special time with the Lord. As we sing the invitation hymn, we invite you to come.
How I praise thee, precious Savior, that thy love laid hold on me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might thy channel be. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power. Flowing through us, thou canst use us every day.
Back tonight, we're doing a series of messages on spiritual warfare and how to fight the enemy. Our greatest enemy, of course, is Satan. And he is far stronger than we are. He knows more about us than anyone other than God. And he is the individual that can put temptations and testing before us that unless we have the help of God, we'll fail. And so we trust in the Lord that the Lord will enable us to do this. Remember to be praying. How many are still praying? And if this is just a reminder, get back to it. You're praying every day as far as pastor is concerned. Okay? You have not because you ask not. And so what we're doing, we're praying that the Lord will be with us and that God will bring in not just a man, but the right man. Amen? John Traeger, would you come and close the service with prayer?
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the message today. We pray that we be bold in our witness. May this be the week that we increase our boldness, give us wisdom in how to do that. Pray for traveling mercies as we depart from here. May we serve you in all that we do. In your name we pray. Amen.